Okay, good morning, men. Our series is Doing Business God's Way. Just thought it'd be a good idea to maybe take a look at what we've been talking about so far. Our first session was on the subject of calling, and then we looked at purpose, integrity, witnessing, performance, wealth, prayer, leadership, and people. For calling, we ask, can business be a calling just like going into ministry? For purpose, we ask, what are God's purposes for me in the marketplace? For character, we ask, what are the character and humility issues I should watch? For witnessing, we discuss, what are the limits and possibilities of sharing my faith in the marketplace? Performance, we talked about, how can I balance the need to perform with the command to love and serve others? For wealth, what does God say about making money, profit, success, and charity? For prayer, we talked about the question, is it okay to pray for business success? And then under leadership, what does the Bible say that can strengthen and empower my leadership? And then last time for people, how should I treat employees, customers, and bosses? So today we'll talk about planning. Then we have two more, priorities and failures. This message, planning, what advice does the Bible give us about making plans? One of my favorite stories, and since it's one of my favorite stories, I'm sure I've told it here before, but anyway, I'm going to tell it again. When Tom Watson was the CEO of IBM, he put a young executive in charge of a major project, and he promptly lost $10 million. So the Watson summoned the young man to his office, and the young executive walked in rather sheepishly. He said, well, I guess you'll be wanting my resignation. He said, what? You've got to be kidding. We've just invested $10 million in your education. You're not going anywhere. I just wonder how many of us in the room today have a plan or have some plans that are not working out. Probably a good percentage of us do. So, what advice does the Bible give us, offer us, about making plans? I mean, why do we make plans? Well, the reason we make plans is because determination is not a strategy. If you look at it long enough, you'll get it. Determination without a plan means that you can only succeed by accident. Make sense? So we need plans. Now, the question would come to mind, is planning an evidence that we lack faith that God will take care of us? That might be a question that would be on somebody's mind. I love what Rod Cooper always said in the early days of his spiritual pilgrimage, because he'd had kind of a rough coming up. His father committed suicide, some other things. And then his father told him, you know, I'm sorry I'm leaving you like this, but, you know, put your faith in God, trust God, because he'll take care of you. And he said, well, why should I trust God? He couldn't take care of you, you know. And so in the early days of his pilgrimage, his philosophy of life was, trust God and have a great backup plan. Planning's important. But does it evidence some kind of a lack of faith? It is said that failing to plan is planning to fail. Is that really true, though? Is that really true? And so let's take a look at the advice from the Bible on this. We're going to be starting at Proverbs 16, verse 1. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. Verse 4. The Lord works out everything for his own ends. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. You're starting to get a pattern here already. You know, from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. The Lord works out everything for his own ends. It's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Turn to 21:30, chapter 21, verse 30. There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. So one of the first things we see as we start this thing of planning is this idea that there is a 100% probability that God's plan is going to be the one that gets implemented. There is a 100% probability that God's plans will prevail. So that should give us a clue about the direction that we want to be heading in. Now, we also know that, well, that's not all. Look, keep your finger in Proverbs and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. I want you to see this one verse in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Verse 11. While you're turning there from Matthew, Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Chump chains? And yet not one of them, neither one of those two sparrows, will fall to the ground apart from the will of God." Wow. And then we see in Ephesians 1, verse 11, "In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him," watch this, "who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." God's in charge. 100% probability that God's will is going to be done. There's not going to be any mistake at the end of the day. And so, life is messy, but it's messy according to God's will. In fact, if your life is not at least a little messy, you're probably not taking enough risks, biblically speaking. So why bother? That's a good question. If God's plans always prevail anyway, why bother? And Jesus himself says, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough trouble of its own." So if God's plans always prevail anyway, and Jesus is telling us not to worry about tomorrow anyway, why bother planning? Pretty good question. Here's the rest of what we'll talk about. What the Bible does have to say about making plans, and then what should we think when plans don't work out. And so first, God's plans always prevail anyway. Why should we bother? Brad Bloom has become a pretty good friend of mine through racing. I did not know him in his former life as the CEO of Burger King, and then before that the CEO of Olive Garden Restaurants, but he told an extraordinary story. When he was the CEO of Olive Gardens, actually before he even became the CEO of, that's when the story starts, because same store sales were sliding fast, 12% slide in same store sales in the year before he took over alone. And then when they asked Brad if he would consider becoming the CEO, he went stealth. He went undercover. Before he accepted the position, he went out and started working in different Olive Garden restaurants in different capacities. One of his jobs that he took was that of kitchen helper. One day he saw a chef take his bare hand and stick it down into a filthy, dirty drain and pull up a big glob of things that shouldn't be there, throw it in the trash, and then just slightly rinsing his hand under the faucet without soap, he went over to a drawer and put his hand in the drawer and with his bare hand again, pulled out a handful of pasta and put it in a saute pan. Brad said, "You know, I'm the new guy here, but that doesn't look right to me. Is that the way we're supposed to be doing things?" The chef just sneered at Brad, never said a word, and kept on doing his work. So Brad made quite a big list of notes about things he might want to change when he became CEO. He did accept the position, and his idea began to take shape. He said to his team, he said, I want Olive Garden to be a fine Italian dining experience. And so he went over to Italy. He found out that most of his chefs had never been to Italy. Went over there, and they actually started an Olive Garden restaurant in Italy, and then they began rotating their chefs in and out of Italy so that the chefs could learn to cook the Italian way. They made a partnership with a winery in Italy, and they increased their training by 500%. There was a lot of resistance, even at the highest levels, but Brad persisted in his planning, and eventually the idea began to get some traction. He sent to Tuscany and got some marble plaques made and engraved the name of the general manager of each restaurant on one of these plaques, and then would embed it in the stone or bolt it onto the side of the restaurant and put a 24-hour light on it. And he said to the president, he said to the restaurant managers, "You're like the president of this restaurant. This is your restaurant. We're here to help you, but this is your restaurant. You have to make it work." Great planning. Well, many other things, too, we don't have time to go into. But what happened is that immediately the planning began to get traction. And Olive Garden Restaurant experienced 33 quarters of consecutive growth under Brad's watch. Single store sales soared from $2.4 million to $4 million per store, and profits went up 600% under his watch, all because of good planning. So why bother? Because planning is essential to success, and the failure to plan is almost a guarantee of failure. That's why we bother with planning. And there's another reason that we plan, and that's because if we don't plan, we're virtually guaranteeing our own destruction. Because God's purpose will prevail, we can find safety in making plans. Because if God's purposes did not prevail, if God's plans did not always rise to the top, then our plans, by our own plans, we'd end up destroying ourselves. So there's a great comfort in this, because we know that no matter what we do, no matter how far afield we go, God in His grace and mercy is going to make sure that our plans never thwart His plans. And so here's the big idea for the day. Our plans are under the protection of His plans. Why bother to plan? Because when we do plan as Christians, our plans come under His protection. He takes care of us by His grace. So no matter how in our own human ingenuity, life is messy as Christians, we will make plans that will ruin everything. You've made some plans that have come close to ruining everything. And what happened? Those plans were not successful. They were successful to a point. They got you maybe into a ditch. But those plans were not successful in ultimately destroying you. Why? Because God's purposes and plans will always prevail. Our plans are under the protection of His plans. Some of you have even gone bankrupt, perhaps. Imagine what would have happened to you if those plans had not been under God's protection. How much worse it could have been. So what does the Bible have to say about making plans? We've looked at some of it. Let's continue. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22 says this. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Look at chapter 16, verse 3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. You know, if we can figure out how to bring our plans into alignment with God's plans, in the first place, the Bible tells us that our plans will then succeed. And then chapter 21, verse 5. Chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. So failure to plan leads to poverty. It says so right in the Bible. But the plans of the diligent lead to profit. In the same chapter, verse 31, the horse is made ready for the day of battle. That's the planning part. But victory rests with the Lord. Chapter 24, verse 33. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will creep on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. And then chapter 24, chapter 27, 23 and 24. Be sure to know the condition of your flocks and give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever. So what's going to happen if we don't make plans? Disaster! If you don't make plans, you're headed for disaster. And if you do make plans, they're likely to be messy. But when you do make plans, we find this to be true. We find the big idea. We find that our plans are under the protection of His plans. Everything you want to do, everything I want to do hinges on its alignment to God's plan. Do you hear that? Everything we're trying to do, everything we're planning to do, the success of everything we're planning to do hinges on our being able to bring it into alignment with God's plan. And when we don't, and even when we don't, our plans will still be under His protection. Because He's not going to allow, no plan can succeed against the Lord. No wisdom, no insight, no plan can succeed against the Lord. This is good news, men. This is great news. You're under His protection.
Hallelujah for that.
Amen. Third piece this morning. What should we think then when plans don't work out? Turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 13 with me. We're leaving Proverbs now. Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a man who made lots of plans, and those plans didn't always work out. We see in Romans chapter 1, verse 13, he says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. And then turn over to Acts chapter 6. Or turn back to Acts chapter 6. Verse 6. Like I said, Acts chapter 16, verse 6. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia in Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So our plans just don't always work out. And so what should we think when our plans don't work out? Proverbs 20:24 says, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can any man understand his own way? Our steps are directed by the Lord. What should we think when our plans don't work out? We should understand that our plans are under the protection of His plans. Another favorite story of mine is when we bought the lot under the house where we now live. My wife and I had decided not to do anything about making a move. Our son was in the 10th grade. We figured, well, we just wait 2 years and we could move anywhere in the world we wanted to. Why don't we just see what God might do? And this was after me having pestered her for about 10 years to live on a lake, because I just wanted to live on a lake. I always loved living on water. And so I'm driving down Wymore Road one day. I was actually checking out some rental rates on some commercial properties, taking a shortcut back to my house down Wymore Road, and there's a little handmade sign that said lakefront lot for sale. And so by habit, I turned down the road, went down, and there's this gorgeous lot and everything. But we had just, that was on Friday, the previous Tuesday, we decided we were going to wait. And so I really wasn't thinking about acting on the lot. But I happened to mention to Patsy, and we drove out onto the lot and looked at it. And Patsy, and a lot of you know Patsy, she's like this completely deliberate person, careful, even-keeled. She said, let's buy it. So I said, I didn't bring you down here to work you. we just made this decision to wait until John's out of high. I know, but let's buy it anyway. I said, woman, you're different. You've changed. So I called the seller. We met out there at 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning. We're able to come to an agreement, shook hands on the lot, and then went home. About 1 o'clock, the phone rings, and it's the seller. He says, Pat, I just wanted to give you a call. This man had asked me if I ever wanted to sell the lot to give him a call to see if he could buy it. And sure enough, after I left you, I gave him a call, and he's interested in the lot. And, you know, I met with you this morning, and so I kind of feel duty-bound to you. And so if you'll give me $10,000 more than he was going to give me for the lot, then the lot's yours. Well, I've been around this block once or twice, you know. And so I said, okay. And I said, I thought that this morning we had made a contract, a bargain between you and me, and that we had shaken hands on it. He said, well, yeah, but that was before I called this other guy. I said, well, I don't understand what that has to do with anything. He said, well, you know, it's that he's willing to pay more, and, you know, I want you to have the lot, but, you know, he's willing. So anyway, we went back and forth like this for 3 or 4 minutes. Finally, I said to him, I said, look, if it's God's sovereign plan for us to have this lot, then there's nothing that you or I can do to prevent that from happening. And if it's not God's sovereign plan for us to have this lot, then no amount of me begging you right now to change your mind is going to make any difference. So you just go ahead and do what you need to do. Long pause, 20 seconds. I was not going to talk first after that one. Good long 20-second pause. Seemed like, you know, 5 minutes, but 20-second pause. He says, well, okay, I guess since you put it like that, you can have the lot. Our plans are under the protection of His plans. Our plans are under the protection of His plans. So why bother? Because God is good. Why bother? Because God is gracious. Why bother? Because He's safe. Our plans are under the protection of His plans. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that we don't have to go this alone. Even though, like lieutenants reporting to a general, you give us lots of leeway to plan our own battles, nevertheless, you still control the master plan. We thank you for this. And Lord, when we have plans that are not working out, help us to remember that this is because we're under your protection, that you're not going to allow us to destroy ourselves with some plan. And that when plans don't work out, it's for good, not for harm. And also that we bring ourselves into alignment with your larger purposes, because everything we do hinges on that. Because no wisdom, no insight, no plan will ever succeed against the Lord. But when we commit our plans to you, they will succeed. So give us this insight as a long-term way of thinking, a whole new mindset for the future. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.